time to talk film with Josh Nelson, film critic. You can check out his blog, filmology.com. Josh, I'm very excited.
Good afternoon, Libby.
We're going to talk about insecure, creative ramblings from a genius.
Yes. Sometimes he's a genius. Sometimes he's just prolific.
Let's give you a hint with this.
Chapter one. He adored New York City. He idolized it all out of proportion. He romanticized it all out of proportion. Better. To him, no matter what the season was, this was still a town that existed in black and white and pulsated to the great tunes of George Gershwin. Now, let me start this over. Chapter one. He was as tough and romantic as the city he loved. Behind his black-rimmed glasses was the coiled sexual power of a jungle cat. I love this. New York was his town, and it always would be.
It's Woody Allen, and he's joined forces with one of our favourites, Cate Blanchett. And what happens, Josh?
Magic happens. Yep. I owe Woody Allen an apology, as I was reminded by a fellow film critic recently. His last film, I wasn't all that taken with, and I was pretty unkind to the point of writing him off completely, which is a good luck charm, so it seems, because I did the same thing with Tim Burton, and then he came back and did Frankenweenie. His last film, To Rome With Love, I wasn't really all that there with. But look, he's such a prolific director. This is a guy who's directed almost 50 films and works for television. So eventually he gets it right, and when he does, wow, that magic is still there. And this is an incredible film.
Tell us about Blue Jasmine.
So this is basically an adaptation of A Streetcar Named Desire. And Cate Blanchett plays the Blanche character, which is, I've just dawned on me that there's a connection there.
But no, she did it at STC.
Yeah, but I was thinking Blanche Blanchett. There's a good copy editor should be onto that.
Yes, they should. But it's really interesting that they took their STC, she and her husband Andrew Upton ran the STC together, and they took it to New York and they played at the Lincoln Center at Streetcar Named Desire, and she got rave reviews. Maybe he even saw her in it.
Well, it does seem like a role that she's suited for, and she's remarkable in this film. I think there's something about that Blanche character, or in this film, Jasmine. You know, she renames herself. She's actually Janet, and she renames herself. That rides that divide that Woody Allen, at his best, is so good at, and that's playing off the tragic and the comic in the same film. And here, I mean, and her character is that to a T. You know, it's this tragic sort of neurotic character that, you know, is not entirely likable. You know, this is this, you know, she's had this fanciful life with her wealthy billionaire husband, played by Alec Baldwin in this film, in New York.
And perfect.
Everything's, you know, gone belly up, and she's landed on the doorstep of her foster sister, or her adopted sister in San Francisco, who stacks groceries. So it's the complete kind of Blanche Stella type of relationship. And there's still something about the fact that this character's so full of herself and so kind of self-absorbed and so insensitive to everyone else. And yet, as the mental illness starts to creep in and the trauma of what her past has involved gradually is revealed over the course of the narrative, it's impossible not to feel something for her. And by the end of the film, it packs a punch. And this is the type of performance that, and I know this is not a marker of quality often, but will get the Academy Award type bandied around. And look, I think on that basis alone, and the types of roles that the Oscars go for, you know, mental illness and so on.
She's no fake nose.
Yeah, no fake nose in this one. She's pretty incredible. And look, I think there'll be lots of Oscar buzz sort of pushing this film along, hopefully, through to the nominations, which come out, I'm guessing, at the end of the year, start of next year.
Is he back in favour with Oscar crowd?
Well, he's two films ago or three films ago, I think.
Because it was a bit...
Yeah, and there is always... I think there is still that tarnish from the personal life. It's the same with Polanski.
I was going to say, touch of the Polanskis.
And every time there's a film that comes out, whether it gets good critical buzz or bad, there's still that group of people who just refuse to see his films on the basis of his personal life. You know, I find that a bit of a twisted argument.
I don't mind seeing his films. I'm just interested in terms of whether the Academy politically bring themselves to re-embrace him.
I think he's, of the two, of him and Polanski, I think he's the more likely to be re-embraced.
That's because he won't be arrested when he comes back into
the
country.
I think that's definitely part of it. But I don't think he actually wants to embrace the Academy. I think from memory, when his film Midnight in Paris came out a few years ago, I think it was nominated and potentially won the Oscar for Best Screenplay. I don't think he was there. So it's that sort of thing where he's still a semi-recluse from, you know, the upfront glitz and glam of the awards ceremony of Hollywood. But, you know, when he gets it right, he really nails it. And look, it does some interesting things on its own. It dials down the idiosyncratic dialogue, the sort of the Freud jokes, the neurosis that were his sort of trademark staple in the 70s. And it plays it more for an earnest style of cinema, akin to things like Hannah and Her Sisters. You know, these are films that are really grounded characters and with a lot of heart. And I think that works. That's probably when he works at his best, because the other humour, it just feels a little tired now. And there's some nice Xanax jokes and those kind of things in there, and they work well. They're sort of one-liners just sort of thrown in to keep the mood buoyant. But for the most part, this is an earnest character drama. And they've done something interesting too with the sister character, and that is they've split the Stanley Kowalski sort of love interest between an ex-partner and a new partner. And what it does, it really emphasises the way in which he writes great female characters. And then as you get this nice mirroring between, on the one hand, Jasmine, who's repeating the mistakes of her past and trying to escape this trauma, but also now the same thing with her sister, who's repeating the same kind of relationship mistake with a new partner who's just a sort of a substitute Stanley Kowalski. So I think he's actually evolved Tennessee Williams' play in many ways, which is a remarkable play anyway, but, you know, in quite interesting ways. So it's not just a, you know, let's just play out the same story as we've seen it before. He actually, he's doing something and exploring things within Williams' text, which I think really works to the film's benefit.
How fascinating. I have a favourite line from Hannah and Her Sisters, which in dire times I repeat as a mantra, which is, the heart is a very resilient little muscle. I sometimes think that. When I see things happening around me, whether it be to myself or to others, I do marvel at the ability of the human condition to be able to be so resilient and to get through troubled times, whether it be heartbreak or something else. I was wondering if we should open up the lines and see if you would like to ring and tell us your favourite Woody Allen film or your favourite Woody Allen moment or line from the films, okay? Let's keep it artistic. 1-300-222-774. Did you get yourself a waistcoat and some baggy pants and a hat in the 70s like Annie Hall, Diane Keaton?
That's one of my favourites.
I watched it on the way to New York.
It's, oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
It's Manhattan, Annie Hall, and I think Purple Rose of Cairo are the three I shift between. There's still a couple of Woody Allen films I haven't seen, and a couple of his more recent ones didn't even get released in this country, which sort of says something about how prolific he is.
But he's working for a different company now, though, isn't he? Like, he's actually working as a hired gun director.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think he is.
For the most part, I still think he writes and directs his own scripts, but he's working on the fringes. Like, I mean, I think a lot of his funding actually comes from Europe now.
I was going to say, it's not American-based. I'm sure that it's overseas.
Yeah, and he has an incredible fan base in Europe as well. I mean, it's that sort of style of filmmaking that translates very well to international markets.
Let's hear a little bit from The Purple Rose of Cairo.
I got to speak to you.
You mean me?
Tom Baxter's come down off the screen and he's running around New Jersey.
How can he come off the screen? It's impossible. It's never happened before in history.
In New Jersey, anything can happen.
Come away with me to Cairo.
Cairo.
But you just met each other.
Love at first sight doesn't only happen just in the movies. You coming from a costume party?
No, I'm just back from Cairo, where I searched in vain for the legendary Purple Rose.
How about that?
I wonder what it's like out there.
Hey, what the hell kind of movie is this?
Why don't you stop yapping? We've got problems of our own.
Woody Allen, Purple Rose of Cairo, just a little snapshot. Do you have a favourite Woody Allen film, favourite moment from Woody Allen in a film or a line? 1-300-222-774. Give us a call this Friday, 1-300-222-774. Or you can text 0437-774-774.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're with Libby Gore.
Not just with me, Josh Nelson, who is our film critic, joins you. He is talking about Woody Allen's film Blue Jasmine. And you reckon it could be a winner?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a winner on a number of fronts. So if there's people out there who've been resisting the Woody comeback for a while, this is time to get back on the board and forgive some of his past sins. His filmic past sins, I should emphasise.
His filmic past sins. Yes, Karen from Heathmont has sent a very funny text. Woody Allen is like Shane Warne. You have to ignore his personal life and just appreciate his work. I think that might be the case. Dave has nominated Sleeper in Geelong as his favourite Woody Allen film. I really liked Interiors, says Helen. It was the film that introduced tourism to me. I've loved film ever since. And this one's a bit all over the place, this text. Hi, Libby, great show. My favourite Woody line of all times is at the end of Annie Hall. A guy tells his psychiatrist that his brother thinks he's a chicken. Guy says, I would send him to a hospital, but we need the eggs. Annie of Caulfield also fesses up that she had a vest and baggy pants too in the Annie Hall days. So cool. So if you have a favourite Woody Allen movie and you want to give us a call, 1-300-222-774. The other film that might be fascinating for even the school holidays, yeah? Hidden Universe.
Definitely. This has got a release, I think, a week ago or just recently. Perfect timing for the school holidays. This is Hidden Universe 3D. It's showing at IMAX. I saw this last weekend. This is closer to a spiritual experience than it was watching a film, actually. I've had a long-standing fascination with space, and this is the IMAX films tend to be short, about 45 minutes, which is sort of perfect, particularly for in a 3D context. That traces the very small topic of the origins of all existence and, you know, the evolution of the universe. But there's something about, well, there's something very clever that this documentary does. And interestingly enough, it's mostly produced through Australian creatives, which is also a big feather in our cap, I think. But that it manages to meld a fairly elementary type commentary, which I think is suited to a younger audience. And it follows two astronomers and two massive laboratories in the Atacama Desert, these telescopic sort of laboratories, and also using images from the Hubble telescope, looking at, you know, the distant galaxies, distant stars. But there's a moment in this film, and the visuals and the sound, that needs to be seen in IMAX to be experienced. And it's almost like, I'm sure people had this experience for seeing 2001 A Space Odyssey for the first time, when there's a moment where the sun just emerges from the bottom of the screen and we get the kind of the music swelling. And with the screen that completely envelops you and the sound system at IMAX, yeah, I was shaking. I kind of got incredibly moved. And there is something about this film that the imagery is so stunning that it keeps bringing you to this point of the sublime. This, you know, it's almost unrepresentable or indescribable how to kind of explain the response and this awareness of the well, it's not quite insignificance. I'm not sure if that's the fair word, but just how small we are in the greater scheme of things and how beautiful this greater galaxy is.
I love being reminded that we're merely specks and there's this majesty beyond. Is that what it does?
Absolutely. And it needs to be seen on that screen because it's so immersive. You actually feel like you are floating through space. And the images that they have now of the sun, of the land, the lunar land, or the, you know, the lunar landscape of the moon, is that a contradiction? Of Mars are just remarkable, as well as these images of exploding stars that actually look like human forms. There's one that looks like an eyeball. You know, it's quite remarkable. And then, you know, you're reminded, and this is where the film leads to this idea that we're all composed of the same matter that's exploding out of these stars, which is, look, it's maybe a little saccharine, but, you know, it brought a little bit of a leakage to my eyes.
Well, that's as long as it was your eyes. Mary says, one of my favourite lines is from Broadway Danny Rose. Danny is doing some stand-up and his audience is largely old people. And he gets an old lady and asks her how old she is. And she replies, she's 81. And Danny Rose quips, oh, you don't look a day over 80. Diana, hello.
Hello, Annie Hall, where she parks the car and Woody Allen says, I'll walk to the curb from here. I still use it to this day to my children's embarrassment. And I love Match Point and also Take the Money and Run.
Beautiful. Match Point, I didn't actually see Match Point, but that was the one with Scarlett Johansson, wasn't it?
It is. Tonally, it's very different. It's quite dark. And on a first viewing, I don't know if I wasn't all that taken in with it. I think it's based on a Dostoevsky novel, I think. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I love it when people just throw Dostoevsky into the conversation.
As you do.
I remember Kate Blanchett describing how she met her husband, Andrew Upton, that he started talking to her about Dostoevsky or something. You know, yeah, right.
Is that the playbook for schmoozing?
That's the playbook for schmoozing. It is 3 minutes to 5 o'clock. Josh Nelson is your film critic. He can check out his blog, filmology.com, very easily just by clicking on it. And he's told you today about Blue Jasmine, which is a Woody Allen film starring Kate Blanchett, and Hidden Universe, which is on at IMAX, all about the exploding universe.
Yeah, it's Stephen Hawking, but it's for the general public, if that's a way of selling it. It's a beautiful film, and it's not just a kid's film, but I think it's a film.
But you could take the kids to it.
Yeah, absolutely recommended, particularly given the school holiday films for kids in the broader, in the multiplexes, aren't all that crash hot. I just saw one of them.
What was it?
Planes.
I saw Planes.
Didn't do anything for me, I have to say.
It's not Cars, is it?
Oh, it's no Cars, and I didn't think much of Cars either, so.
Oh, well,
It'll be great for Disney merchandising. Let's just say that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, Josh.
Pleasure.